In fact, we'll have a caravan down there tomorrow with some bigger high school kids to go up there and beat them all up. So it's going to be good. I'm sure I'll be arrested for making that statement now, too, but we will be. Item 3A, consider draft ordinance amending Title 11 to add athletic training facilities to list of permitted uses in the OR Office Resource District. The petitioner is Excel Gymnastics Academy, 1000 South Randall Road.
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Dakota, seconded by Hill. Any questions or comments from Mr. Unch? Mr. Singer?
Thank you.
And do we have a representative from Excel with us tonight? He'll be doing a double cartwheel up to the podium and... Mr. Singer.
Is this the facility that's located at the old Chronicle site?
Well, it's not located there now, but they're contemplating moving
at that site.
The north half of the building, approximately where the printing plant used to be.
And I believe there's also a portion of that site is being considered for a
medical clinic,
center of some sort.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And does that look rather promising?
To our knowledge, both uses are moving forward.
Good. Yeah, I'm very pleased with that. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
You're welcome. Anyone else? If not, we have a motion and a second. All in favor of item 3A, please indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed? Great. Item 3B, ladies and gentlemen, is the presentation of the 2009 OPTEN General Fund, Electric Fund, and Water Wastewater Fund budgets. Our city administrator, the Honorable Mrs. McKittrick, will be leading us in this presentation. And I ask gently but firmly that we reserve all questions until the end of the presentation, because as often is the case, any questions that we think we have tend to be answered as the presentation evolves. So, with that, I will turn the floor over to Mrs. McKittrick. Any questions?
City Council. This evening I present to you the proposed budgets for the General Fund, the Electric Fund, and the Water and Wastewater Fund. Much has changed since last year's budget was presented to you that no one could have reasonably expected to have foreseen. Just about every organization, every business, indeed every person in the country has had to think about money in a different way. Within the past 6 months, our national economy has moved from boom to bust with what now seems to be the worst recession since the 1930s. Our challenge as stewards of the public trust is to address those pressures, embrace change, and try to mitigate and adapt to the troubled uncertainty as they relate to our community. For us as an organization, we have a different set of issues in front of us than we have ever had before. While it is not a question of tearing up and rewriting our strategic plan goals, we must certainly look through a different lens at the issues of the day. We must have a budget and a strategy that does all we can to ride our way through this storm and to place our residents, our businesses, and our organization in the best possible place to emerge from the storm into settled waters, ready to sail ahead. So the budgets presented to you this evening have been drafted and redrafted many times over the past several months that will help us manage change, rebuild our reserves, our savings for a rainy day, if you will, and plan for the future. Tonight on the agenda, we will be looking at managing the challenges, the budget schedule, a summary of the major funds, the revenue summary, an expenditure summary, workforce planning, department budget highlights, and at the end, conclusion with discussion and questions. managing the challenges. First, we have many advantages in the community. We are mature with an unparalleled reputation for a vibrant downtown and an engaged citizenry. We have a diverse tax base from a variety of taxes and fees. We have a high bond rating. We have professional and resourceful management team and dedicated employees as well. We also have some disadvantages. Our reserve funds are below the newly adopted finance policy that was adopted by the City Council a few weeks ago and recommended finance standards. Right now, our reserve funds will take us out about 41 days. Our new policy says that we would like to see a minimum of 3 months in reserves to cover expenses in the case of an emergency. We have a moderately high debt level of about $80 million. The majority of that is covered through our enterprise funds, and those are not the portion of the debt that's worrisome, at least to me, because those are covered by the user fees based on rate studies that we have conducted in the past. It is the general fund general obligations that we don't have the reserves to cover should there be an emergency. And those are some areas that I believe that we should be focusing on in the future. As far as the budget schedule, we started shortly after the strategic planning workshop. As you will all recall, we spent a Saturday working on priorities last November, followed by department heads drafting department goals consistent with City Council priority goals. We looked at those priority goals and tried to align those based on available funds. And where there weren't available funds, then we looked at the next priority set of goals. In December, the department heads were provided with budget schedule and expense standards. January, there was a review of current 08-09 expenses and projected 09-10 expenses. February, review of proposed department goals and objectives, operating budgets, and capital and special project budgets as proposed for the 09-10 fiscal year. And then March, continued review and revision of proposed department goals and objectives, budgets, operating and capital, as well as special projects. In this current fiscal year's budget, there was a projected deficit of $932,000 for operating and capital funds. The use of reserve funds was projected to balance the budget with a closing fund of $1.8 million. In January of this year, seeing the economic downturn, department heads and myself met, and I asked them to reduce their current budgets by 2.5%, which they did. Capital projects were put on hold, for example, the downtown plan. Operating purchases, such as vehicles and other large equipment, were also deferred. Staff vacancies were left unfilled. A hiring freeze was put into place, and the overall average reduction of expenditures equaled 5%. In the proposed 09-10 general fund budget that you have before you, the projected reduction of major revenues is approximately 6%, or a loss of $600,000. The projected reduction of total operating revenue is approximately 4%, or a loss of $550,000. And there is a projected reduction in sales tax revenues of 15%, or a loss of $800,000, which takes us back to the 2004 level. The combined 08-09 revenue reduction plus the overall decrease in the projected 09-10 revenue equals $1.5 million. We were looking at a $1.5 million gap that we needed to fill in this new budget. Miscellaneous or minor revenue streams are projected to be flat or with minimal increases. And projected interest income, you'll see a reduction of 27% due to declining cash balances as well as declining interest rates. Also in the upcoming budget, the capital improvement program is reduced to $1.5 million in response to a 15% reduction in referendum sales tax revenues. Capital items such as vehicles, equipment, bikeway improvements, downtown master plan have been deferred. In the general fund special projects capital budget, we do have included a leaf pickup machine, police squad vehicle, city hall gutter and drain repairs, beautification, one-ton dump truck, police CSO vehicle, business incentive program that would take the place of our current facade program, which is really just an expansion of our current facade program, fuel island dispenser, gas tank, computer equipment, and then of course we have our ongoing fiber debt. Overall, in the 09-10 general fund budget, operating budgets were decreased by an average of 3%. IMRF, as we talked before, is increased by 14%. Fuel is increased by 10%. Liability insurance increased by 3.3%. Power, electricity, increased by 2%. And group health increased by 7.5%. So that 3% absorbs all of those increases that you see. At the same time that everything is going up, we're decreasing the overall budget on average by 3%. We also did some restructuring of accounts and funds. We've moved some line items to align with their purpose, such as engineering. You may notice, for example, in the engineering budget, there were quite some substantial increases. That's because those line items were never there before, or that they've been reallocated to a different percentage. Such as, for example, a landscaping maintenance for the big video boxes. We are receiving income from AT&T when they install one of the big video boxes. We didn't have a place for those expenses to come out of. So, for example, we put that in there. So you'll see some large increases. We've combined some line items to reduce or eliminate data entry errors. For example, all of the leave time you will see in the different budgets, there is nothing in the leave time. Everything is allocated to wages. Because for each and every time that sick time, vacation time, funeral time, any type of leave time is entered, there's another chance for data entry error. And since it's all the same cost, whether a person is here or a person is at home, it's the same wage. It reduces the potential for error by just putting it the data entry into the wage. We do have an HR program that tracks the leave time, so we are keeping track of the leave time. We're just not entering the data separately for each hour. So it's just trying to improve efficiencies and eliminate mistakes. We've incorporated two of the smaller miscellaneous budgets into department budgets for better oversight. ESDA is a budget that has been incorporated into the fire department budget, and the fire and police commission budget has been incorporated into the legislative budget so that department head can oversee the structuring of those accounts. Okay, and this doesn't want to move anymore.
Take it back. Majority of general fund. There. Thank you. Okay, sorry about that. I wanted to present just a summary of the general fund, looking at revenues and expenditures and the respective surplus or deficit. Looking at the first column, that is this year's approved budget number, budget numbers. The next column, the forecast 08-09 budget, those are the anticipated expenditures that we believe that we will see by the end of this year. It probably says expected. There's a line item on your spreadsheets that says expected. That's the same thing as this. The projected 09-10 budget, those are the figures that came out of this current year's budget, if you look in the 09-10 column. And then the last column to the right, the proposed 09-10 budget, those are the figures that we're proposing to you going forward this evening. If you look at the revenues, we are looking at over what's been approved this year as opposed to what we're proposing for next year, we're looking at a 10% reduction. If you look at expenditures for what was approved this year, the $18 million, as opposed to what we're proposing for next year, we're proposing a 20% reduction in expenditures.
That's budget to budget.
That's budget to budget.
Not actual performance versus projected budget.
If you want to compare the what we're proposing for the budget to the actual, the forecast, which is what we expect by April 30th, that's a 16% reduction.
Thank you.
And then I just put in a couple of pie charts. Thanks to Don Weiss, our finance director, for creating those. Just showing a breakdown, I thought that you would be interested as far as the general fund revenue, how that's allocated percentage-wise, where that comes from. General fund expenses. Again, it's just easy, I think, to look at it in this type of format so that you can just quickly see where those expenditures are. Electric fund revenue, same thing, and as you can see there, the electric sales obviously from customers are our greatest source of revenue. Electric fund expenditures is the purchase power. Water and sewer, basically the same thing. Sale of water would be our greatest revenue source. And the water production, let me see here. Actually, it looks like this one is saying the depreciation is the greatest expenditure. I also wanted to talk to you a little bit this evening. Included in our proposal for 09-10 was a lot of discussion and deliberation regarding workforce planning. And this proposal tonight includes basically a what we consider a three-phase implementation plan, with the first phase being included in the budget. And hopefully we won't need to go beyond that. But right now, we have four vacant positions, and we're proposing that for the time being, at least, until things return to an upswing, that those positions remain vacant. And as I've stated before, that would include one in police, one in streets, and two in water. We're proposing that we continue with our hiring freeze. We're proposing that we implement a temporary reduction of hours for specific positions. And both of those, I might add, the vacant position and the temporary reduction of hours, we're proposing that both of these measures are temporary and that it would require a budget adjustment if during 09-10 we're able to reinstate those. Or at this point in time, if we're not, then we are looking forward to 2010-11 and assuming that we would be able to reinstate those at that time, hopefully sooner. We're also including conversion of one part-time position to contracted services. We're proposing that the administrative intern position, who receives class credit toward her degree for graduation, that she remain in her position until graduation in December, and that upon her graduating from that program, that her position would then remain unfilled through the end of the fiscal year. We're proposing no wage increase for management staff and a 1-2% merit wage increase for non-union, non-management staff based upon their performance evaluation score, with 1% being allocated to those employees who meet expectations and 2% to those employees who exceed expectations. Collective bargaining units have been asked to reduce contract wage increases, and we are negotiating with them currently. I've asked department heads that there be a reduction in non-emergency overtime. If they could avoid overtime for non-emergency reasons, then please to do so. We are going to offer voluntary furloughs to employees. There will be no education reimbursement. There will be limited professional development opportunities, and this is basically what I'm talking about are overnight type of training and educational conferences and such. If someone is in the middle of a certification, or if a certification is required for their job position, we're not talking about impeding that, but we're talking about national conferences for professional development. If they include overnight, we're talking about eliminating those for this upcoming fiscal year. Also wanted to bring to your attention that through Metro West Council of Government, we are talking about creating a service where municipalities would be able to enter into intergovernmental agreements with each other to contract out each other's employees, such as engineers, for example. If a smaller community doesn't have an engineer or another like position on staff, then they would be able to enter into an intergovernmental agreement with another municipality who does have that position and contract those services.
And they would receive compensation for that, the city who's making the contract?
Yes, correct. So that would provide the smaller community that doesn't have the staff with that service, and they would be paying the other city, which would cover those expenses.
Do you think we can implement that and keep it as simple as possible so we don't have to drag this out with lawyers and...
Well, there's a lawyer that's drafting the intergovernmental agreement, so I don't...
That's what scares me. Okay, thank you. It's a good idea, Ray.
It is.
If we can keep it simple.
Just to touch on some of the department highlights for you, and I might say before I get started that the department heads and management staff are here this evening. So when I get to the end of the presentation, they are here to answer your questions, as well as our finance director, Don Weiss, and myself. Administrative Services Department budget has decreased by 5.8%. The annual appreciation dinner has been removed from that budget, and they've reduced the scope of the health and benefit fair. There will be more estimated reads for utility billing. Finance is a part of that department, and utility billing, of course, part of finance. With the vacant meter reader position, there will be more estimated reads. Computer purchases are now included in special projects and capital, and the IT manager will oversee replacement schedule and computer needs for all departments. City Administrator's Office, the department budgets decreased by 3.6%. The city newsletter will be changed to an electronic format starting July of this year, and we'll be looking at updating the first four titles of the city code. We're going to be working on a donor brochure. We will continue to monitor and evaluate the Ride and Cane program, and you will see that in your budgets. We felt that it should have one more year of evaluation. We feel that it is focused on a very small group of individuals, approximately 30 to 35. We're not sure that it's the biggest bang for the buck, but we don't feel that one year is enough to evaluate the program fairly. So we are proposing to include it in the budget for another year to continue evaluation.
What's a donor brochure?
A brochure that we would publish provide information to the public to make donations, for example, flowers, or benches, or bike racks, those types of items.
Thank you.
And then we'll be conducting a newly elected officials orientation program after the new council takes seat in May. The Economic Development Department budget decreased by 8.4%. And the downtown partnership is not funded through the capital budget as it has been in the past. Downtown events with overnight stay components will be funded through the hotel motel funds. The proposed revision of the facade and sign program is the, you will see in the special projects budget at a proposed cost of $20,000, and it's basically to expand the scope of the current facade program to include business recruitment and retention. Added to the past goals of downtown development, East State Street, TIF, and Geneva Business Park are the business retention, recruitment, review of SSA number 1, and the revision of the city's special event application. The Electric Division of Public Works will be working on a 5-year underground cable replacement program. Parts of Pepper Valley, bounded by Williamsburg, Caneville, and Randall, will be part of the program. It will start in mid-June, finish in October, and includes the replacement of existing mercury vapor street lights. Landscaping will begin in the fall and finish next spring, and the cost will be $1.9 million. And this is a map. I don't know how well you can see that. This, all of this information will be posted on the city's website as well. So, do you want me to turn off this? One more row, maybe. Yeah. That's good. I think that might be help a little bit. So that's a map of the underground replacement program. The new streetlight replacement program, currently there is no set schedule of streetlight replacements. They are replaced as they fail, and this practice has left many legacy lights on the system without available replacement parts. The initial years will target existing mercury vapor streetlights, replacing them with a more energy-efficient high-pressure sodium streetlight. And in 2009-10, 311 overhead mercury vapor streetlights will be replaced, saving an estimated $8,000 per year on energy costs. The cost of the program overall will be $97,000, and this is a map of that program as proposed. The Engineering Division of Public Works, and as I indicated before, you'll see an increase of 21.2% without the new line items added to this budget. It would actually be a 2.2% decrease, but we added line items that includes the city engineer, administrative assistant, and engineering technician wages, which were not in there before and we thought was appropriate to be in this budget. We included stormwater review line item, and we included the utility landscaping line item, which needed to go somewhere, which we've never had before. So that's why that budget is up as it is. This is a map of the street improvement program, and this has come to you before. And the Dunston Road ditch improvement, again, part of the engineering department's programs for the upcoming year. The fire department, their budget decreased by 0.05%. They did incorporate the ESDA budget as well. They've deferred replacement of 20-year-old engine estimated at a cost of $430,000. This has been deferred before. Life safety education program has been reduced to $500 and the scope reduced accordingly. They've eliminated the weather pager program for the hearing impaired residents because the same information is available basically on the internet and TV, and the fire department can't get the information to them any faster than someone can tune in to get it. And participation was reduced when the deposit was required for replacement of lost or damaged pagers. Fire department will also file a grant application for the replacement of 12-year-old self-contained breathing apparatus at a cost of $120,000. And they'll be replacing 60 pagers and two base stations in preparation of the FCC-mandated frequency change. The legislative budget increased 2.9% due to the addition of the Fire and Police Commission budget being rolled into the legislative budget. It would have been a 6% decrease without that being rolled into the legislative budget. Plus, there is an increase in the codification cost. Based on my conversations with the codifiers, I'm estimating a cost of about $10,000. This year, we have incurred about $7,000 in cost for codification of our ordinances. So with these additional, the goal of going through our city code, trying to update it, we know that that's going to cost more. But it's a housekeeping measure. I don't believe that that has ever been done in the past, and we thought that it's time to start walking through there and making sure that it's not conflicting with other parts and that it's up to date. The Planning Division, Community Development Department budget decreased by 6.9%. And they are evaluating the feasibility of establishing a new historic district, as you know, which comes right out of the strategic plan, the Batavia Avenue Historic District. And they are working to formulate a downtown bike rack plan with the Bike Ped Committee. They're completing design guidelines for the Geneva Historic District, or they will be, that illustrates appropriate design solutions for the restoration, rehabilitation, and adaptive reuse and expansion of historic buildings.
Will that be done soon? We've been talking about this for years. As far as I know, it's never been advanced much.
We're going to hold all the questions until after the presentation is made, and then we can ask specific department heads those questions that are relevant to their area of expertise.
Fine. In addition, another item on the list of goals for 0910 for the Planning Division is creating a housing commission to identify housing needs, gather information on affordable and attainable housing resources, and formulating a housing plan. That division will also create a Prairie Green Preserve Citizens Committee, again, out of our strategic plan to determine site improvement priorities, conduct prairie stewardship activities, and develop programs for use of the site. They are also looking up at updating their web pages on the city's website regarding the building permit application process and requirements, procedures, and inspections. Our police department budget has decreased by 1.6%. We are looking at implementing the red light photo enforcement program. We just recently got an approval, I believe it was last week, from the Department of Transportation at Kane County. They have approved the three intersections. You'll recall that we started out with four intersections and proposed four, but only three were approved by the warrants, the studies that were done. And KDOT has now just recently approved the paperwork that we submitted, and so we are on our way to implementation of that program. The police department has deferred the replacement of two squad cars and their conversion costs, nine portable radios, and two radar units. They plan to file grant applications for the replacement of eight bulletproof vests, anticipated a savings of $3,200. And they will be exploring and creating cost-effective training opportunities, partnering with the FBI to facilitate training, partnering with Union Pacific, and partnering with outside police agencies to also help facilitate training. Our Streets and Fleets Division of Public Works budget decreased by 3.3%, and the Fleets Division, or maintenance, budget decreased by 0.5%. The Emerald Ash Borer replacement trees reduced by 50%. They were looking originally at 100 replacement trees, and they've reduced that to 50. And they're looking at performing the necessary brick repairs on South Street. They, as far as the outsourced brush program, an increase of 250% in pavement repairs and an 18% increase in forestry work since they've been able to outsource that brush program. Salt application modifications. This year there was a reduction of salt applied by 45%, and that will continue for next year in an effort to make sure that we maintain an adequate supply this year as well as last. You may recall that once municipalities ran out of salt, some of them were able to purchase additional salt at double or triple the cost, and others were not able to purchase any at all. Streets and Fleets Division will continue their research on anti-icing and de-icing of products for the cost savings, enhanced performance, and more environmentally acceptable applications. As we've talked before numerous times, we will enhance the LEAP program communication to the public. And there's been a list already of the myriad of venues that we plan on using. And I'm sorry I didn't bring one up, but we sent out a flyer in the most recent utility bills. I don't know if you've received yours or not, but on in the envelope for utility bills, we sent out a flyer. On one side it talks about our brush pickup program, and on the other side our electronic newsletter. So that is one of the formats that we'll be using to enhance that communication.
Well done.
Our Water, Wastewater, and Stormwater Division of Public Works is proposing an overhead sewer grant program. This is a new program. As you recall, there have been some repeated problems in some areas of the city where flooding has taken place, and there's been some backups. And this program is proposed to address those problems. In this program, the city would fund 50% of the cost up to a maximum of $3,000 per household. And there would be an application process that a homeowner would need to go through, and then as well as an inspection process if they were granted. And this is just you can see in your packets, this is a typical basement drain and sewer arrangement. And then the next slide shows the difference in the overhead sewer arrangement that's being proposed right now. Also, the Water, Wastewater, Stormwater Division of Public Works is proposing a new program to televise 25,000 feet of sanitary sewer in addition to sanitary sewer pipe and manhole lining. And this is a map of the sewer cleaning area that's being proposed. In summary, the proposed budget responds appropriately and adequately to economic conditions. The plan retains core services for